This is Average Advice. I'm Zar.
And I'm Tim. Average guys, average stories, average advice.
Welcome to season two, where new and exciting things are on the way.
Stay tuned and stay average.
Do you think we overpromised?
Nah.
Welcome back again for another exciting episode. Episode 21 of season two. What's
going on, Zar? And Bruno, thank you for coming on the 49th best podcast in Canberra. We appreciate it.
Yeah, in the hot seat now, Zar's friend, Bruno. Hopefully my friend at the end of this, but he's coming live from our New York studio, his apartment.
You know what, Bruno? You've earned the honorary Australian title of my mate.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's... I'm going to wear that badge, you know.
Zar's mate.
Welcome to the show, as we said. Now, we are back again. Now, this is the first time... Two things. First time, we've had someone from New York. So, we have a lot of... I would love to talk about life in New York because I love New York from afar. Uh-huh. My sister went and visited and she said it smelled funny, but I was just like, I'm sure there's other good qualities. So what was it like? Have you grown up in New York your whole life? Or
Yeah. So I'm born and raised in Queens, New York, the best borough. Yeah. So if you ever seen the sitcom King of Queens or you know,
that's where Spider-Man Entourage? Was.
What?
Entourage.
You know, or if you've seen the end of the movie of Men in Black, you know, I live literally right near that Flushing Meadow Park where the Globe is. I'm right near the U.S. Open.
I feel like I know New York City so well just because I played Spider-Man PS4 like constantly.
Actually, you know, since you mentioned Spider-Man is the story is based off in Queens. Forest Hills, Queens. Both my parents grew up there. So there's a lot of memorabilia like with Queens, and it's probably the most diverse borough.
Can you find your house in Spider-Man? If you were to swing around in Spider-Man, could you find your place?
You probably could find my neighborhood. Yeah.
Oh wow,
dude! Apparently, like I actually heard this back in the day. There was this school trip. They went to Venice in obviously wherever Venice is. I don't know. I should have said that. Yeah, thank you. I was like, I wanted to say Italy, but I also didn't want to be wrong because I was like, I'd rather not say anything than be wrong. So Italy. So the school teacher got lost, right? And some kid, he was like in year 10, directed them where they needed to go. And he's like, how do you know where to go? Have you been here before? He's like, no, I've just played Assassin's Creed 2 like, constantly. And Assassin's Creed 2 is so like lifelike that you could easily do that.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said if you can navigate a subway map in New York City, then you can navigate any map.
Yeah,
it looks complicated. I mean, I live in Sydney now, and Sydney has a pretty complex train system, but nothing compared to the New York subway system.
Yeah,
I just don't understand how they designed that.
Yeah. Well, it's a complicated map. It's dirty, full of homeless people. You might see a pile of shit on there. You get performers begging for money all the time. And now within the last 3 years, it's become really unsafe. So a lot of people prefer not to take the subway and they'll drive and pay tolls and gas. So yeah, it's one of a kind.
Sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you own a car?
I do own a car, yes. A 2022, by the way.
Shit.
I didn't realize
we have a guest on with a 2022 car. We're moving up.
A 2022 Honda Accord. Suck it.
Oh my god, I love cars. I love Honda Accords. Bro. Oh man, damn, that's awesome. I've always wanted an Accord.
Man, I feel like royalty right now.
Yeah, with a sunroof. Can you believe I'm paying $100 extra on my lease just for a fucking sunroof?
Yeah, dude. I remember because back in the day when I went to go get my first couple of cars, mom would come with me because she was gonna go halves with it. And all I was looking at was the sunroofs. I just wanted a sunroof so bad. But now that I'm bald, I want to cover myself from the sun as much as humanly possible. Sunroof sounds terrible.
Yeah.
That's why I like having the motorbike. I have to wear a helmet all the time.
Funny story for you, Bruno. I was driving in Tim's car, and Tim's car's got a sunroof.
My old car.
One time I was driving his car because he wanted to drink, and we're just driving along, and this big huntsman, you know what a huntsman is? Big spider we have
big
in Australia.
Spider.
Oh, is that what they call them?
Google
There's a huntsman spider. It's a breed of spider.
Google huntsman spider after this. They're like these big, they're like big furry brown spiders.
Oh, I think I know really what you're big. Talking about. Like, I've seen that show on like that Discovery big. Channel. Yeah.
They're the ones that you want because they eat other spiders, the ones that are deadly.
But they're just really freaky and big. Anyway, so we're just driving along and this spider starts crawling up the windshield.
Oh, I remember this.
And the sunroof's
open.
Oh
my God.
And we're just, I was like, Tim, close it. And he's just like trying to close it. And it stops like almost there. And there's like this little gap and the spider's just like crawling really quick. And we're like, I was like, Tim, if you don't close that sunroof, I'm crashing the fucking truck.
Dude, I've never felt more terrified in my entire life because I have, like, you don't understand, Bruno. I'm the biggest arachnophobe.
Oh.
I've gotten better over the years because I've been sort of exposure therapying myself. When I see a spider in the house, I just stand near it now. I'm just like, all right, he's not going to kill me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm a little bit better, but back then I would scream. I was a little girl, right? So the sunroom's open and I could see this giant huntsman on this windscreen. And I'm like, we're driving. So I'm thinking, all right, we're driving. He's already getting pushed up by the wind. Right. So he's coming this way no matter what. But what Zara didn't know that I did know was my sunroof is fucked. So you have to like press it a couple of times and it will move and then it will stop. And then you have to press it again and it will keep going.
Right, right.
So I knew we were in a bad time. And I remember it just came over the lip and I was like, pressed the button and it went into like the roof, like in between the sunroof close and like my roof. So it didn't come in. But I was like, I can't open my sunroof ever again.
Oh,
my
shit. So you had to just wait until it suffocated?
I never opened it again.
Wow.
Because I'm not an arachnophobe, but huntsmen's are fucking freaky because they're fucking huge. It's just like, I don't care. I'm not especially afraid of spiders, but I don't want one of those fucking things on me. It's just like, man.
You guys have huge spiders. We have huge rats. So, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't
I've
see
seen
rats very often.
Videos of New York City rats, man.
Yeah, they're at the point
they're
right
like
now
this
that
this big.
Yeah, Master Splinter is definitely somewhere in the sewer right now. Like they've got to the point where they're all mutated.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Dude, that's terrifying. Apparently, there's more rats in New York City than people.
Yeah,
like by a lot.
But you guys are gonna crack up. So Mayor Adams, he actually is trying to like hire someone to be a rat, like rat exterminator, like run like a rat extermination program. And
probably need it, to be honest.
I wouldn't be surprised if Pixar comes up with a New York City like animation movie of the rats versus the New Yorkers, because like the rats are so bad, especially when they started the outdoor dining with the pandemic or plandemic, you know, and all this crap going on. It's the infestation has increased and it's so bad that we're looking for like a rat exterminator that's willing to pay. Like, he posted the salary, I think it's like anywhere from $120,000 to $150,000.
I'll do
I
it
mean, I would
yeah,
like
right.
I'll and, do it
they as if that's not a good idea though. You don't want that?
No. I do, but I just think the task is too difficult for anybody to like. I think you're gonna get people applying for the salary, but it like what you just stated, there's more rats than there are New Yorkers. And I think the task is so difficult. The mayor's pissed because his home in Brooklyn, which he doesn't even live in, he lives in Jersey. We have a mayor that a New York City mayor that lives in Jersey.
Yes, I'm not a New Yorker and I know that's not okay.
That's not okay. It's not okay. You know, are you?
You're not a New Yorker, dude. You're
for
New Jersey.
For all our listeners out there, I've just looked up the population in New York. Just under 8.5 million people. So there's more than 8.5 million rats in New York.
I mean,
so
let's look up how many rats there are.
Like
someone's gone out and counted. They've done a census for rats.
New York City 2022, 2 million rats.
Yeah.
That's a lot of rats.
Definitely, I guarantee there's definitely more than that. Like with the issue that we're having.
Yeah.
And the mayor at his Brooklyn home that he doesn't live at, he's getting fines for rat infestations or some shit, like, and it's, so he's coming up with this thing, but it's an issue,
If you've ever had rats in your house, you know the pain. Like, rats multiply so much. I've had a rat, like, problem at one of my old places, and it was a nightmare. You would try to get rid of them, you'd get exterminators in, and what would suck is, because you could only put baits out, right?
Uh-huh.
So the way it works is obviously you have a family of rats that live there. They multiply. There's fucking heaps of babies and shit. And then they'll go eat the baits. They'll eventually fuck off and die. And then you'll be like rat free for a bit, but then a new family will move in, and then you have to deal with those until they start eating the bait, and then they go fuck off and die. So it's a never ending cycle. And I'm like, oh my God, I was like, I never want to go anywhere that I can have a rat in my house again. Now I have two cats and they're both on the prowl.
Nice. Can't go wrong with that. I would get a cat, but I'm allergic. So I'm out of luck.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Just get one of those rat eating dogs.
Or have you seen that seagull that just downed a rat?
Yes,
I've seen that video. It was just like, straight down the gullet. Dude, and I'm like, what the
way
fuck?
The way that birds eat things is so comical.
choking themselves.
Yeah. I saw that video. I was like, holy shit, seagulls eat rats. Like we're, you know,
bro.
I've
never seen anything eat a rat like that. To be fair.
Surely seagulls can't eat the fucking New York rats that are like. Fucking huge.
No, the rats will eat the seagulls for sure.
Actually, rats kill pigeons in New York. There's plenty of videos of like rats like fucking like in Central Park, like murdering pigeons and carrying them into the bushes and shit. Yeah. I could find that video.
It's like a gang of rats.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have come here. It's our neighborhood.
Hey Bruno, do New Yorkers have like this like is there rivalries between the big cities of the US? Are you like, oh, fucking Los Angeles? Oh,
like West Coast, East Coast?
Yes. So there's always like sort of a rivalry and beef between East Coast, West Coast. Like West Coast is like West Coast, Best Coast. And then East Coast is East Coast, Beast Coast. I think.
That stemmed from like fucking like late 90s with Biggie and Tupac and all that gang violence and stuff. It's a little bit better now though.
Like New Yorkers, like if it's really cold, like it's fucking freezing right now, we say brick. Like if it's freezing balls, like you feel like you got icicles coming down your balls, like we say yo, it's mad brick outside. Cold as brick. We say mad. Yeah. Whereas like people in LA will say hella. It sounds more. They sound ridiculous. They sound stupid. Like if you're looking for any street cred, like with lingo, like New York, I think New York tops LA with lingo. Like because LA is more, it's hella. You got more surfer skater vibes, I guess.
Yeah, more cooler dude.
Yeah, like it's more chill, but yeah, like I'd say like New York.
Sup, bro?
Yeah, it's a little New York's a little bit more rough. Where like LA, but like we do beef with Philly. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we beef with Boston, Massachusetts. I feel like the only time
you're just naming cities up, you're like, all right, we beef with basically everyone except us.
What about Detroit?
I mean Detroit's rough. Like they're fucking they're pretty hood, but like New York, it's like specifically doesn't really beef with Detroit. But if you try to fuck with someone from Detroit, like and they're visiting New York. They'll definitely throw like I'm from Detroit, you know, Detroit.
I'm from Detroit, bitch. Yeah.
I only ask because my cousins live in London, Ontario, which is about 2 hours northeast of Detroit, and then 2 hours southeast of Toronto. So I was just like, I wonder what Detroit's like. I should go there.
Yeah, the Canadians aren't letting them over the border. Okay,
the Canadians have pride.
Yeah, they're definitely more secured.
You know those shitty shows on like Discovery on Foxtel and stuff? I was watching one called Hardcore Porn, and it's literally just like this family that run a porn shop in Detroit, and it is literally the funniest thing. Because it's like, it's one of those crappy reality shows where it's obviously scripted, but you look at it and you're like, man, these people that are coming in here and just arguing with these people for $40. I'm just like, who does
You know,
this?
For a second, I thought you said porn because it's hard to tell with your...
I did.
It's hard to tell with your Aussie accent because you can't distinguish porn between pawn because the way you guys enunciate them.
No, yeah, it's true.
Porn and porn.
Porn and porn are the same. We pronounce it the same way. Pawn, though. It probably should be called pawn.
Porn. Oh, you like porn?
You want to pawn it?
I got a question, Bruno. You were mentioning like the different the way that you say things between East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah.
And I've said this previously in the podcast. When I went to Vegas, which is, you know, basically West Coast, or sort of inner West, we met these really cool Mexican guys. And me and my mate Sam, obviously being from Australia, we're like, oh, you guys are mad dogs. And I don't know if that's something that you'd say in New York when someone's like, cool, like, oh, you're a mad dog. But they had no idea. They were like, what do you mean, mad dogs? What does that mean? Like they
were like, mad dogging me, bro?
You mad dogging me? Yeah. Like they were like, what? Mad dog? What? And then we were like, no, you're awesome. And they're like, oh, cool. I don't know if that's something. If, would that fly in New York? People are like, yeah, Mad Dog. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
I mean, I guess, I mean, you may, it may fly just because of the word mad. I mean, because we say, yo, you're mad cool, you know? So they, I think it would fly, but, in other states.
But like, if I said that, you'd be like, oh, Mad Dog, mad cool. Oh yeah, I get that.
Mad
yeah.
cool. That's how people know.
But they were, like, they were the West Coast. They were like, what?
Yeah.
What? Oh, you're hella dogs, dude. Yeah. You're hella dogs.
Well, when I travel to other states, people pretty much know I'm from New York, but I feel like my accent isn't as thick as like a native Bronx or native Brooklyn accent. I mean, they're strong.
Yeah, you definitely have an accent, but it's not strong. Yeah. It's not super strong.
They're strong.
Like, you're not going around like, I'm walking here.
Yeah,
you know?
You know, forget about it. You know, there's not, like, we have Queens, there's strong Queens accents, but like, yeah, I feel like my dad's side of the family, like, they're more thicker New York accents, Italian New York, but otherwise... My brothers and I, we didn't, like, we have it there. I don't really recognize my accent, you know. I feel like I don't have an accent, but people say.
With New York, because obviously New York got hit pretty hard at the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's sort of come back now? It's sort of lively again? It's sort of back to where it was?
It's, to be honest, it's, you know, New York has always been known as the city that never sleeps, but it's still sleeping. Wow. It's still not what it used to be honest. Where if you look at, like, either of you could, like, Google this. I don't know the exact number, but we've lost, like, a lot of people are moving out of New York.
Yeah, and same with LA. Everyone's going to Texas.
Yeah, yeah. So it's for a bunch of reasons. You got cost of living. You got,
it's expensive.
I will say, like, when the pandemic happened, they, like, if you were renting, like, an apartment, it, like, all the landlords were dropping the prices, especially in the city. Like, if you were in Manhattan or the boroughs,
I don't think they had a choice because no one could pay because no one could go to work.
Yeah. That and
they're like, oh, we want money eventually. All right. Well, yeah. You guys can stay for a bit.
Yeah. Well, that. And either a lot of people were leaving New York or a lot of people were moving out of the city and going into the suburbs, like out in Westchester, upstate, Long Island. So because the media did a great job really scaring people in New York City. And we were considered the epicenter of COVID for the whole country. Specifically.
Yeah, I just remember that one picture was just like all those bodies in the back of like a cooling truck. And that was like right at the beginning of COVID.
So that picture are you talking about a picture that you saw based off in New York?
Yeah correct.
So that picture actually was at one of the hospitals that I work. I'm a healthcare worker. So that was at,
oh shit.
Yeah. One of the hospitals near the facility that I worked at in Queens. So that's Jackson Elmhurst Hospital in Queens, New York. That was the hospital that was practically all over the news, the bodies in the trucks and also the crap. There's a lot of inaccurate reporting with that and a lot of fear mongering.
I would believe that.
Yeah.
I would believe that too.
Yeah. You need this beauty New Yorker. I don't know what you guys get in Aussie land over there, but you need a little bit of pizzazz, you know, from.
You know what we got down here, man? We got good coffee down here. That's what we got.
Listen.
Yeah, learn how to fucking barista.
You don't got to tell me. Max Parsons has fucking like rammed in my head that there's that you guys have the best coffee, New York shitty coffee. Like, but you know what? I'm not going to lie. Like when I went to Spain for 10 days. I was in Barcelona, Madrid, and Sevilla. And their coffee in Europe, like when I got back to New York, I was like, damn, we really do have shitty coffee. So then I kind of had to admit to Max. I was like, yeah, you guys might have better coffee than us. Because when I was in Europe, you know. It was way like
I've just never understood. I've had instant coffee before, and instant coffee is like subpar to Australian coffee. It's just like friggin' two scoops in a cup and some hot water. But then I look at your drip coffee, and I'm like, that just looks like sewage water.
Yeah,
I've never understood it.
Yeah, you know, if you go to a bodega, do you guys know what a bodega is? Oh my god, you uncultured swines! A bodega is like if you go to the city, a bodega is like the corner deli in the neighborhood. So But to be fair, like if you're,
it's like Ben's Diner or something.
Yeah, like if you're not born, if you're not born in like the boroughs or like the hood, like even a lot of Americans are not familiar. Like if they're born outside of the state or even like in the suburbs, they're not familiar with the bodega. But they typically have decent coffees, you know, and they give you that little fucking coffee cup that you see with the little. It looks like little Greek like columns around the rim, you know, like that shit. That's not bad, you know, but otherwise, yeah, I'm pretty sure you guys top us in the coffee, you know.
Have you been to Australia?
I have not been to Australia, and I've been dying to go because the Aussie Open is probably – I grew up as a tennis player, competitive tennis player, and I worked at the US Open as a ball boy, and I always wanted to go to the Aussie Open.
So I've never been to the Australian Open, but my mate and his girlfriend just went to this most recent one.
Yeah.
And they were saying like, cause I didn't realize it's like a full, they have like a full, like almost like a festival. They got like food stands. Oh, huge, you can go to like multiple courts and just watch like the juniors for free.
Yeah.
You can just watch these juniors that are like up and coming stars, just like battling it out. And then you pay to obviously go to the main thing, but there's like all this stuff to do.
I was going
to
say it should be similar to the US Open. Like the US Open has qualifiers week. So that whole week is free for anybody to come in, for anybody. So like when Nick Kyrgios,
you can just play.
Yeah, like when Nick Kyrgios was like just getting out of his juniors, like I ball boyed for Nick when he was a qualifying player.
That's hilarious. Nick was in Canberra. He's
from like Canberra.
Played with Max. Yeah,
he's local.
I ball boyed for Nick. Like I want to say two times. I think I even ball boyed for one of his main draw matches years ago. I ballboard for – I can't recall if I did Leighton Hewitt, Sam Stosur. There were a couple of them that like for the most part, the Aussies are cool. The French are assholes, you know, but and the Russians could be dicks, but the Aussies are
– Nick Kyrgios, what I love about Nick, he literally just doesn't give a fuck. He's like, I don't care. I'll tell you to go fuck
just
yourself.
He
yeah, well, and you know what too? Nick, well, actually someone I grew up playing tennis with is good friends with Nick. So whenever Nick comes to New York, he's always hanging out with him. But I follow Nick and I see a lot of his stuff. And Nick, like I kind of relate to him because he calls a spade a spade. He has no filter. He says what he's thinking. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people want, you know, political correctness, or they want, it's all about delivery for people. And he doesn't have his bratty like tantrum moments, but he wears his emotion. He wears his emotions on his sleeves, and I know a lot of Aussies look down on him. But to be honest, and for me, that's been a tennis player, and I competed competitively. And tennis compared to other sports isn't really like highlighted. You know, like for example, like in the U.S., I know you guys have like rugby or whatever the fuck you guys have, or cricket and shit like that over there. But like the U.S., like. The major sports are like football, Super Bowl, you know, you got the World Series of baseball. NBA.
You guys put so much into your football. It actually blows my mind how much you guys give a fuck about football.
Yeah. Crazy how much like, money.
It starts from high school.
Yeah. How much money you guys put into your sports. Like NBA players making fucking minimum wage, 900 grand a year or some shit.
I can understand because how much money are they bring? How much money does the NRL make?
That's 900 grand is that. Billions. That's being nice, Ariel. Like
that's minimum. That's like first year minimum in 900 grand.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that it's even more than that. You know, they really overpay them, but
million months.
Yeah. So they,
I wouldn't say overpaid. Like it's a percentage of how much they're worth, you know what I mean? So like if a team earns $140 million, the team players should get a percentage of that. Like
That's why they're earning so much money. What the thing, like for example, tennis, like your earnings essentially like excluding sponsorships and you know deals that you make,
payments.
Your earnings as an athlete competing is based off your performance. You know, we have have baseball players that are getting like anywhere from 20, like their contracts are 20 to 30 million, and they could have like terrible seasons and not performing. Like they could strike out, and you know, and that goes for basketball players, football players. Like, so like for me, like I have more respect for a tennis player because like you're really grinding.
It's individual.
And
yeah,
I would believe, I definitely understand that because I think the way tennis works is you get no matter what, you're gonna get viewers. But the more wins that you have under your belt, more people are gonna watch you. You know what I mean? So you hide,
and you're not representing a club. You're representing yourself.
Yeah, yourself. So clubs, yeah. Like, but with football, they already have sponsors in the club. Yeah. They've already got people that like the club. So people are gonna watch no matter who the players are in that.
But you know what? Like with Nick,
More money.
What I was saying before with Nick, Nick is the type of player that makes the sport interesting. There's like there's a stereotype and a preconceived notion on tennis, like as a sport in general. And it's always been looked upon as like an upper class sport. You know, you sort of have to have money. It's like maybe even a political sport. It's like, you know, in order to really.
Yeah, it's like polo.
Right. You know, there's this like people have this impression of it. And like, so you have players like Nick that actually kind of break outside that bubble. And then, you know, again, like a lot of people have this like stigma on tennis. Like you have to present yourself a certain way and act a certain way on the court. Yeah.
It's like golf.
Yeah, you know, golf. Yeah.
No, what golf is so snooty too.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense. He's got this image that it's like kind of controversial and people are like, you either love him or you hate him. It's very polarizing. It's really resonating with Tim, what you were saying, you know, this political correctness that he's just like throwing out the window. Tim always talks about this with comedy and stuff. Yeah. So
I fucking hate
you're speaking Tim's language, like, bro.
Comedy's dead. Like, the political, that's why I love anybody that goes against the political.
They're trying to kill it.
Do you guys remember, like, do you guys have Comedy Central? Yeah. And
On Foxtel.
Like, you can get Foxtel.
Okay, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day when they used to do, like, the roast. Like, they'd have, like, have, like, the roast of Donald.
Do they stop that?
Bro, oh my God. Like, when you had the roast of, like, Donald Trump, Joan Rivers, Snoop Dogg,
Charlie Sheen. Those were the best because they would always do it when they're really, really down in the media. They've done something fucking dumb, and then they'll go into a roast, and it will completely solve their like.
Justin Bieber? I feel like they were getting a little bit more. I don't want to say like censoring or filtering, but like it was more rough. Like back when they were doing some of the older celebrities. Like, have you ever seen the Joan Rivers roast? No, oh my God! Like when you guys get a fucking moment, watch the Joan Rivers roast. When I tell you the fucking jokes and like they're so brutal. There's no boundaries when it comes
to race, looks,
body image, you name it. And I'm like, today, whoa! Like, God forbid! Like, it's like that's the point of comedy. The point of comedy is for you to like have no boundaries. And you can be in a room with people where we could all laugh at each other for our imperfections or like stereotypes.
Comedians have to push the boundaries because that's how you find out where the line is. That's how you find out what's funny, because that's why they go to open mics and stuff and they try new things. Because if people don't laugh, you're like, yeah, guess that wasn't funny. You know what I mean? Because you get a consensus. That's why it's annoying when people are in a room and they're like, oh, no, that's not a funny joke. I'm like, well, see how everyone else around you is laughing? That means you're wrong.
Sure, you guys know or may not know, but like our vice president is Kamala Harris, right? So there was this guy, a comedian, and he called this black woman in the audience. He referred to her as Kamala Harris or some shit. The girl stormed off crying and had a whole fucking tangent. That's racist. Da, 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 da. And it was great for him with content because he was like, yo, oh my God. Like, the guy obviously was then making jokes and ragging on her tantrum in the moment. And the whole audience was like dying laughing. And I'm like, but you have people in the audience that like audience members are reacting like that. Where back in the day, like, people took it, you know, like you had people in wheelchairs that would like that. I remember, I forgot which comedian it was, but like, there was the comedian was essentially saying like, yo, the wheelchair person got offended that he didn't get made fun of. He was like, make fun of me. Like, we could take jokes, like make fun of us. Like, I want you to make
mad respect.
Look, it also makes it like, if everything's okay to be joked about, it means everyone's included. You know what I mean? There's no excluding. There's like, as soon as you say, oh, you can joke about this, but you can't joke about this. And then all of a sudden, now that's a stigma.
Yeah.
Well, that's a stigma. Now they're not a part of the normal conversation. So now all of a sudden, that ostracized group is feeling more ostracized because they're actually getting excluded even more. You know what I mean? So like, if comedians make jokes about things, one, it means they're topical, but also means they're part of the mainstream talk. They're part of pop culture, which is
There's a really good, do you know Jim Jeffries, Bruno? Have you heard of Jim Jeffries?
Jim Jeffries.
He's an Aussie. Look him up. He's hilarious. He's an Aussie comedian that's moved over to America. I'm not actually sure. Maybe he lives in New York. I'm not sure. Anyway.
I think he's in LA.
LA. Anyway, LA he's now. One of those guys. Anyway, yeah. He comes to America. He's from Australia. And he's one of those like,
yeah,
test the limits. We'll just say whatever. It doesn't give a fuck, right? And he did this massive skit on gun control. Yeah. And he was presenting it to the US audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was mentioning things like, you should definitely watch that skit. It's really good. But he was mentioning things like that when he goes to shows in America, most of the audience are like, oh, that's funny. That's really good. But then there's 5% of the audience that are just super furious. Furious. And he's like, and there's three reasons. One, I'm making good points. But two, I'm a fucking foreigner. And it's just like, if you don't like it, go home. But he basically, it was just like,
he's like, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's just like him trying to present these points of view and just pointing out the fact that, you know, these people are going to get mad, and it's nothing to do with sort of what he's saying. It's just because they just disagree with his image entirely, or his like it's persona. Like,
it's exactly. So dumb to go to a comedian, like a stand-up show. You pay the money.
Right.
They're making jokes. Like, you know they're making jokes. That's why you came. Like, you know that they're going to make jokes. And then you'd be like,
right.
Oh, no, I don't like that part. You'd be like, but you're paying me to say this.
Oh. Like, and the point I was going to make, sorry, I completely missed it. But he was like saying that he was doing, he did some joke about lesbians. Uh-huh. And then he did some joke about terrorism. And everyone was like, ha, 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 ha. And then he did a joke on God. And he like made fun of God. And he was like, so I can make fun of lesbians, I can make fun of terrorists, but as soon as I bring up God, half of you are like, oh, well, that's not appropriate. Right. It's just like, he's like, so where do you draw the line? Like, what is the line, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Either everything's funny or nothing's funny.
Yeah.
So you can't pick and choose what you can and can't make jokes
if,
for.
Yeah, exactly. It you know,
has to be a free-for-all on everything.
If you're an Australian comedian and you're looking to, like, get a reaction from an audience, or, you know, to be controversial, then your move is to come to the States, because the States, like, in my opinion, I feel Americans are more, as what America has become now, especially today in our climate and society, is it's very heavy on identity politics. And there's a lot of our privilege shows when, you know, you get so offended because a pronoun is you didn't like the pronoun that someone used, or some bullshit, or your religion was made fun of, or whatever the fucking case may be, you know? So like Americans, I feel like are like most Americans today look for something to get offended by and then whine and bitch about it. And then they resort to,
unfortunately, that's the whole world.
At least with my experience with all the Australians that I've met, either through the Aura community, I've been a part of like a freedom rally movement, you know, with Aussies that were like fighting against mandates and shit like that. For the most part, I feel like all the Australians I've met have thicker skin than the Americans that I encounter.
Yeah, we're pretty laid back.
In Australia, the sort of rough and tumble trooper, like red, I guess you'd call it redneck in America, but like bogan Aussie. It's just kind of like, you got to kind of be able, you got to have that thick skin. And if you don't, you're made more fun of. Like, oh, look at this little sensitive
we've
guy.
Got such a, we've got such a banter and giving shit culture. Like,
your friends
will treat you the worst out of everyone. Like, the people that are closest to you treat you the fucking worst. Like, they'll in like speech ways, you know what I mean? They'll call you fuckwits and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
Strangers you'll call like mates and friends and stuff like that.
There's like a saying that I heard. It was like, in Australia, the only place where you call your strangers mates and your mates cunts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very accurate.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like maybe I'm a fake Australian then, because I feel the relationship I've had with Zariel and Max.
Yeah.
I shit on Max all the time, that giraffe, you know.
Oh, mate, you have to shit on Max. It's the only way to bring his head down from the clouds.
Exactly. That's the perfect way of putting it with Max. Yeah. Yep.
He's too high up in the cloud. Yeah. Dude, he's not listening, but when he does,
watch out. He's over in your country at the moment. He might come find you.
He'd come to you. He's at Texas, I'm pretty sure.
Max is enjoying the life over there, because Texas, you know, most of the red states, you know, quality of life is better. It's not congested. You're living, you know, more freer lives and cost of living is less, you know? And you get more for your buck. You're like, what? I'll give you guys a perfect example. You know, I paid a crap load of money for my condo here in New York in Queens. I just have a one bedroom. It's 652 square feet. You know, I'll just tell you guys, I paid half, like around $500,000 for this shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's US.
In Texas, if I spent $500,000 in Texas,
you'd have like a five bedroom house.
Like a fucking, you know, huge ass mansion with God knows how many bathrooms, bedrooms, a huge backyard.
Plus the land tax and the sale tax is cheaper too.
Yeah, well, and you're not paying state income tax. There's several states like Florida, Texas, and
when there was a huge exodus for all these professionals going from LA to Austin. I was looking up the numbers. Basically, when Joe Rogan made that $100+ million deal from Spotify, when he moved to Texas, he made an additional $50 million just because he saved on income tax. And he saved on house tax and land tax and state tax.
Yes.
Just because he's not in California, he made an extra $50 million. And I'm like, that is fucking insane. That's so much money. And it's because because Hollywood's a fucking like performing town. So they just rake, they just get all the money out there. Give me more of your money, motherfuckers. Like, you've got all these homeless people and all that stuff still. So like, where's the taxes going, you know?
Right. That's the problem. And that's when we were talking about New York before and how it's not the same. Everybody's leaving because the amount of homeless people on the streets has increased. Specifically, like New York, it's bad. It's very bad. It's gotten to the point now, especially after the pandemic, you know, started in 2020, where you have specifically in San Francisco, LA, Chicago, New York City, where it's not just homeless people on the streets. Like, we always had our fucking bums and,
it's like homeless, you know, families.
Shit like that. But it's gotten to the point where people are literally, like, in broad daylight, like, in your face, in front of, like, bus stops where school kids are getting dropped off.
Yeah, wow.
Shooting up needles, you know, crack pipes. Like, the crisis, like, the addiction crisis and the drugs, like, has elevated to a point where all of that has contributed to then mental health crisis and suicide rates. And, you know,
you have to figure out a way to solve the problem rather than fixing the symptoms. You know what I mean? So like, you can figure out what to do with all these homeless people, but you figure out why they're homeless in the first place and why the homeless is going up. Like those are the problems that the world need to solve. Cause that's the same here. It's just like, you're sort of just moving them around, recycling homeless people from place to place, but you're not actually solving the reason why they're homeless. You
know? Right. I just went to Awake a couple of days ago. One of the nurses I work with, her son, who is, I think, 35, just he ended up ODing. I don't know what drug he was on, but then he was so high and had an episode where he ended up drinking antifreeze, and then he lost his vision, was intubated at the hospital, then was on life support, and this was a young kid. And his mom, as a nurse, like, she did everything for him. She's one of the best nurses I've ever worked with. And she, her daughters, like, tried everything, like rehab, you know, you name it. But you can only help those that want to help themselves. Yeah, and
I was about to say, I have another
friend who's a close family friend of mine he got locked up in prison for 12 years. And it took being locked up in prison for 12 years to save this guy and get him out of his addiction and for him to change and become like totally clean. You know, it takes those extreme measures to really get someone to, you know, turn the leaf. Otherwise,
I feel like the problem with addiction too is even when you're clean for however many years, it will always be in the back of your head that you're like, oh man, that was fun. You know, remember when I did, that was like a really fun thing. So there's always this argument in your head. You'd be like, no, all the time, you know? That's why I'm a smoker, and every single time I quit, you get to the point where you're like, oh man, you forget why you quit in the first place. You forget all the horrible things that it was doing to you, how bad you felt. All you remember is how good it tasted and how great it made you feel. And then all of a sudden you start smoking again and boom, you're just there. You're there again.
Tim's like, oh, the great taste of cigarettes. Oh,
yeah. Like when you forget about it, that's what I'm saying. Like your brain tricks you into thinking that the disgusting taste of tar tastes amazing.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up.
Dude, so I was, I was a smoker. I'm 31. So 10 years ago when I was, you know, I had my first cigarette like at 15, 16. I didn't really buy packs like that. I didn't start maybe buying cigarettes like packs of until I hit college. And then when I was going through like, you know,
just quickly,
all my like,
can you buy a cigarette? Can you buy cigarettes at 18 in the US or is it also 21?
It's 18.
So alcohol 21, cigarettes 18. Yeah. Okay. So
yes. Yeah. And I mean, we don't like, it's not like Europe where you have like vending machines, like in bars and fucking situations where you go, ooh, I want this pack today. And I mean, they do a good job in Europe because they'll put like a dying baby on the back of the pack to be like,
we have that too. It means nothing to us.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know, because I'm like, it's definitely not doing anything because all these Europeans have a ciggy in their fucking fingers right now. Okay?
When they did the plain packaging, I was like, this is not going to do anything. Like,
yeah.
Nothing.
Well, you know, it's, yeah, like it, so like we don't have that. You have to go to your bodega or your little stand to get your cigarettes or, you know, your little grocery store pharmacy. But otherwise, you know, like when I was smoking, it was, you know, it was more social, you know, when you're out partying, drinking, and then
that's how they get you.
Yeah, and then when you're stressed, like when I was studying for a lot of exams and shit in college, but then like what got me out of it was I've always been an athlete my whole life. So then when I started getting on the tennis court or hitting the gym, and I've always been a runner, like I've always been endurance wise, I've been good sprinting, I've been good, and then I noticed like shit, like I'm gasping a little bit, I'm losing my breath a little bit, and I'm like,
it's
fuck that.
It's so weird for me because I can run. If I don't stop, I can run 30 minutes nonstop, like 6Ks, right?
Yeah.
As soon as I stop and I'm like cooling down, that's when my smoker's cough comes out. And it's really bad because I'll be on the treadmill and I'll be like, oh man, it was so, I'm like sweating. It was so hot. And then I'll be like trying to cool off and I'll be like,
yeah.
And it's so bad.
Yeah, dude, you know, like for me as an athlete, like I saw the difference in my performance and how like I am with my body. And you know, now, you know, since I want to say since my mid-20s, I sort of took a different route, like being more, you know, dealing with more natural stuff, like, and holistic avenues, like with, you know, what I want in my body, your body. I sort of became like my body is my vessel type of person, you know?
Yeah. My body's my temple.
Yeah, exactly.
Completely destroyed.
Yeah, well, you know,
one of those ancient fucking Aztec temples that's like half decaying.
Yeah, so like I had that wake up call, and the fact that I work in healthcare and I work like I on a daily basis, I'm scan like I work in radiology, so I'm an MRI CAT scan technologist. So I'm looking in the insides of people every day. I'm seeing different pathologies every day, people with different symptoms, and a lot of people, like one of the most common, you know, exams I see is people coming in for cancer, and a lot of them are lung cancer, and then we do lung screening cancer programs for smokers, you know. So when you're dealing with that every day, that sort of kind of like wakes you up, and it's in the back of your head like, hey, kind of stop. So like,
oh, for sure, it's so weird being a smoker too, because even smokers know, like I knew that I'm like, this is not good for me, especially the amount of smokes that I was starting to smoke. I'm like, man, like I need to really do something about this. But then what's the hardest thing? Because it's like, I don't enjoy it anymore, but it's the habit that you stop doing. And that's the hard, breaking a habit like that is, one, you're addicted to it. So your body is craving you to go back to this habit. Plus it's also really hard to break a habit. Like, what do you fill it with? You know? So it's really difficult, but I'm going to try again eventually.
So we got 15. Well, we got
I do want to ask a question before we finish.
Yeah.
You guys are.
Well, yeah, no. Oh, I had a couple things I wanted to talk to Bruno. It's like the last sort of, we can go a bit longer if we need to, but there was two things I wanted to ask you about. Firstly,
you might have to go a bit longer because I'm like, I talk a lot too.
That's okay. Fine. Firstly, what's your take on this whole gun shenanigan? Because obviously in Australia, us looking in, we're just like, it seems like such a simple thing to resolve, equation. But then it seems to be the debate of the century over in the US, you know.
You guys really want my thoughts on this?
Yeah, go on. Go on. That's why we brought you on.
All right. So I'm not a gun owner. I don't have a permit. I don't have a license. It's a little different. It's a little different compared to individuals that live in suburbs, you know, in the woodsy areas and just small towns.
Just quickly, do you need a permit to own a gun in New York?
Yes. Yeah. And
because that's not the same for every state though. Some states you can just buy a gun and just have it, right?
Fairly sure you need a permit in most states now.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The background checks and stuff are extensive.
Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. Good. Cool. Right. Continue. Sorry.
Yeah. So you need a permit. The thing that arises is there's a lot of people that obtain guns illegally. They obtain them through the black market and shit like that.
Because there's so many there.
Right. So, you know, we also have an open border. And there's a nice country right next to us, Mexico, that has a lot of cartel members that cross the border and they transport a lot of bullshit. You know, whether it's drugs, weapons, sex trafficking, you name it. There's a whole, like, deep... Like, this goes very deep with what comes into our, you know, country, you know, outside of the U.S. Of course, we have a black market. And when you live in a city like New York City, like when you're in the urban city, it is more difficult to, at least from my understanding, I've never tried, but from what I hear with people, it's more difficult to obtain a permit living in a city compared to living in the suburbs or like upstate. So here's my thing. We have a Second Amendment, and our founding fathers placed the Second Amendment in our Constitution for a reason. And that was for our government to never – for the people to always have something to protect themselves with, especially when it comes to the government. You know, I'm forgetting – who was it? Was it – I'm forgetting the fucking president.
Washington, Eisenhower, Clinton, Bush. Those are the four that I know.
So, wait.
Lincoln, wasn't it?
Lincoln.
No. This is going to kill me right now.
Thomas Adams.
I'm going to quote. No, I'm. Let me find this quote for you guys.
Chester A. Arthur.
Abraham Obama.
How do we know more presidents than you do?
No. It's shit. Government.
Chicago, Illinois, the 4th.
This is you, asshole.
I'm trying to know more presidents now. If you tell us, like...
Okay, wait. I found it.
Kennedy, wasn't it? It was Kennedy, wasn't it?
It was not Kennedy.
Roosevelt.
So... No, it's not.
Ford.
Hold on, wait. President...
Nixon.
Wait.
Oh, yeah, Nixon.
Okay, it was... It was Reagan, okay?
Reagan after Nixon.
Yes.
No, wait, that was Ford.
So Reagan, and just to have it verbatim, the most terrifying words. Hold on.
Oh, he's lost it again.
Come on, Bruno. You're sucking up your time here, mate.
Okay, so the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Okay,
yeah, that's true.
So there's a reason why Reagan specifically said that, and that relates to why the founding fathers have the Second Amendment in our country, because ultimately our government is there's a lot of corruption, and I'm sure you guys see it within your government with some certain politicians and how they act and things.
Oh mate, you're not allowed to say that on this show. We might get banned.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, we're a communist country. Like, our government actually watches this and really controls this.
And there you go. So like with us, so when it comes to protection, right? And now I do think that there needs to be some sort of implementation to try to crack down on the black market with obtaining guns illegally. And I think... Like, I'm not saying, like, we should all be like the Wild West and just go around, everybody has a gun and do whatever, you know? Like, that's not my stance. However, I feel like if there's any, the second we let politicians and the government try to infringe on our Second Amendment is the second that we open Pandora's box and open the door to the government then completely coming in and then having more control.
Yeah.
And I say that, and what... has been very alarming and has woke a lot of people up has been since 2020, since COVID and the pandemic. So we saw our government, and specifically like New York City as an example, and this is why New York City is not the same anymore. And this is a great quote that I found from someone a couple of years ago, and the quote is, if you let the government break laws for emergency circumstances, they will find ways to create emergencies to break the laws. So when we had a lot of
that's a good quote. I like that quote.
Yes, and we had a lot of breakdown, increase in drug use, mental health issues, depression, businesses closing down, people losing their livelihoods, families breaking apart due to the government coming in and implementing unjust restrictions, mandates, and things that completely fucked up our city and then caused people to even leave out of the country or leave out of state. Like, and I used New York as the example because New York was where it was rough. Like, because we have Americans that have no idea how bad it was in New York, and Americans that live in some blue states where it wasn't that bad, or they lived in red states where they had complete freedom. Like, if you go to Florida, like, there were some org people that I know online, and even some people within my field that moved to Florida in radiology that were like, wow, we're living our lives. We're not like, if you want to wear a mask, you wear a mask. If you don't wear one, and our numbers are lower here, and New York, we're implementing all these strict restrictions and the numbers aren't becoming any less, and they're more than the states that are completely open.
I will say, yeah, it seemed like a lot of it, because they didn't really know, there was no blueprint. They definitely overcorrected, and it was the same here. Like, I understand why they did it, because they had no blueprint, and they just were trying to do their best. But like, there was, eventually it turned into the point where obviously this is not as bad as we thought it was going to be, you know what I mean? Obviously there are people dying. But
right,
it's not, well, like the next jet Spanish flu, you know?
Yeah.
So. Right. And the problem is, we have, like, specifically in New York, we're still pushing these mandates. So I know I'm drifting, like, back and forth, but they very much relate, because the guns, like, if you let them, so Americans, we view and watch countries such as Australia, China, and other nations where there are no guns. And then when they implement such strict, some may say tyrannical mandates and restrictions and infringe on your rights, then there's nothing to fight back against the government. And I remember even watching clips within Australia where it got to the point where I saw protests in Melbourne and Sydney, and you had Australians out in the streets. And then the government was like, well, you know what? If you really don't listen, and if you're really going to keep fighting back on us, we're going to bring the guns out. And the problem
I never saw that. So the thing, I'm going to stop you there, just because I do remember those riots, those protests, and they did get really bad. So if you threw guns into that mix, we wouldn't have had just a protest that turned into a riot. We would have a mass shooting. So like, I just don't understand how that's a better thing than, you know, I understand obviously you want to have power to fight the government, but if guns were introduced in that scenario that you brought up, the Melbourne riots, we would have had so many people shot. Like, so many.
And there's one.
Everyone would be dead.
There's one major thing you said, Bruno, which is the difference between, obviously, the US and Australia, is that we're a fucking island. We're not surrounded by a country like Mexico. So it's very hard for imports, because anything imported into Australia goes through our border force first. So if we get if there's a big shipment of guns coming to the border, our border force will go, fucking guns. Yeah. Whereas US, people just drive them over the border. No one knows anything. So I didn't think of that as well, because I think implementing gun control in Australia worked a lot better, because there was a lot less of a black market for it, because stuff has to get imported, as opposed to in the US, it's just like everybody just bringing it in. Also, your neighbor's got guns and everyone's got guns, you know?
Like, we have immigrants that are coming in illegally, and now they're trying to ban you from saying the word illegal, when it's like, if you're not a citizen and you're coming in illegally, you're illegal, you know? Yeah. So we have immigrants coming over from different countries all throughout South America that are claiming they're asylum seekers. And like, I could tell you stories right now of incidents that just happened a week ago here in New York, where we had asylum seekers coming in, and then they robbed at least 10 different homes in Long Island. They finally get caught. There was another group from Venezuela, and I feel bad for the Venezuelans, because they, with the dictatorship and the government that they're dealing with in Venezuela, is awful. But we have asylum seekers coming in, and we had these four guys from Venezuela that came in, and I don't know if you know the story. You guys don't have Macy's in Australia, right?
No.
So Macy's is a huge department store here in the U.S. Yeah. So we had four that robbed over $12,000 worth of items and goods from Macy's, right? Right here, like,
who would risk deportation back to a dictatorship for 12 grand worth of fucking Macy's items?
Here you go. This is part of the change in New York. New York, with our very liberal politicians that we have that run most of our city and our politics here, implemented a bail reform here. So basically is you could get arrested for a crime and then you don't have to worry about getting bailed out. They release you the next day. So these four guys stole $12,000 worth of goods from Macy's, are here as illegal immigrants, and they got released the next day. Like that.
At least they didn't get to keep the stuff, I suppose.
No, they didn't.
Imagine like, all right, you guys can keep it. You guys are all right.
When it comes to the guns, and a lot of Americans are the ones that fight for the Second Amendment not to be infringed on, and are pro gun. More so is for our. And again, like, I live in New York. Like, it's very different with other states where they use their guns every day for hunting and a bunch of different uses. And every state has their different laws. Like,
Texas has no laws. It's like, you want a gun? Sure.
Right. Well, Florida, for example, if someone is trying to rob you, like, and they're trespassing on your property and they're trying to cause harm and rob you, like, if you're a gun owner in Florida, like, you can shoot that person.
That's the castle rule or something, right?
Right. Called. So, like, but that's not castle. It's not the same in New York. However, if you're a permit holder and a gun holder, if you went to court, like, there would be defense for you as a permit holder carrying a legal license.
In Australia, if that happened, if someone broke into our place, we can use equal or less force.
Mm-hmm.
So if they broke in with a knife, we can't use a gun on them. But if they break in with a gun, we can use a knife on them or a gun.
we have that similar to here. So the problem here is, like, specifically in New York, like, our governor right now and a lot of the politicians, congressmen, assemblymen, they are creating laws for, like, if you're, like, credit card companies to specifically monitor your purchases and stuff like that. The problem is these criminals that are killing people with guns aren't using their Amex to purchase the guns. They're getting them, again, in the black market and illegally.
Yep. So I feel like if there was more gun laws in regards to regulation, there'd be less, obviously not including the ones that you come over from the border. That's another issue that I would have no idea how to tackle. But my opinion is, obviously, if you lower the amount of guns that are sold in the country legally, right, the ones that are made and sold, then the overall amount of guns legally that are sold will be less, right? So no matter what, there's going to be less guns, even if they come in illegally. Because I remember when it happened here, like everyone sold all the guns. I think, Zar, you had the point because we are an island, it just works so well here.
Yeah.
I think the only problem with you guys is, one, there's a lot, and two, it's such a big culture difference in regards to your gun culture. Like, in Australia, everyone willingly gave up and sold their guns.
I guess the question that a lot of Australians, when we see it, is like, obviously, you know, it's ingrained in your constitution. You've got this Second Amendment, all these Americans, like, we have the right to do it. But then the question is, so how do you tackle all the mass shootings? Like, what is the answer? If you're not going to control or limit guns, then how do you fix the mass shootings? So that seems to be, I've heard that you've had like 30 this year alone or something. Like, it's crazy.
So, so with regards to the mass shootings, I'll give you a perfect example. So one of my coworkers that I worked with, she moved upstate, very small town. A lot of those people I imagine are pro gun individuals. Their schools, their elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, they have trained security guards, ex-police officers, military personnel that are on the school site. And not just that, like, if you're a visitor or you're trying to get in, like, you can't just go through the side door. There's cameras everywhere, cameras linked to the local police departments. And when you have to come in, there's glass doors to the, like, if you're a visitor, you have to get buzzed in.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. And you have professional personnel that have this. The problem is a lot of districts and and specifically certain states don't want to put in the money to just supply the school, the teachers and the children, these security. So
Think how much like an average security guard gets paid in America. Surely it's not much, right? An average security guard, maybe like high rate would probably be like $30 an hour.
Well,
you really think they're going to put themselves in front of a bullet?
Mm-hmm.
No. If you take, so again, like her children's school are ex or former police officers or military personnel. These are people that were always willing to risk their lives and knew how to handle dangerous, heated circumstances, you know? So, like, and trust me, when I say, like, there are people, and if you look at social media, and you got, like, community Facebook pages and shit like that, like, community boards, like, there are people willing to take that job and that are trained and experienced for this. Yeah. But the problem is that the country, the specific politicians and officials in certain states don't want to throw money into that, but they will throw money into some pronoun bullshit that like has like nothing to do with safety or like they misdirect and misuse the money. And, you know, like right now, for example, New York City is paying almost $2 billion to house illegal immigrants that are crossing the border into fancy hotels in the city and paying. And my tax dollar money is going to this, to people that aren't citizens. Mind you, we could be putting this money towards security. $2 billion. You know how much security trained personnel
in the city a lot of money.
That you can put in all the New York City schools, the public schools, and or just the fact, or let's just say you don't want to even spend it on the fucking personnel. How about all the American citizens that are like natural born citizens or vets that are homeless dealing with mental health issues that are in the freezing cold right now as we speak? And so do you see what I'm talking about?
I do understand. Because it's similar here where, like, yeah, there are problems that people don't seem to be talking about. Look, I'm not a trans person. I don't really want to get into that argument or anything like that. But, look, I'm sure they're having some problems. But, look, that's not the only problem in the world. But it seems that it'd be the only one that anyone's talking about.
Well, it's very easy for a particular group of people that have dealt with a particular problem that affects them directly to make that and it's hard to have perspective about things that don't affect you directly, so I understand. I understand what you're saying from as well. It's like there's issues like mass shootings, which is a lot more of an urgent issue. You want to deal with kids dying unnecessarily in schools more than dealing with this,
like,
sort
mass
of,
mass shootings ultimately affects any group. They do not they're not prejudiced towards any
group. I don't think the guy in Vegas was aiming at who he was shooting. I think he was just shooting everyone.
Right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the guy in Vegas
there's a gay one.
He just shot into the crowd. I'm pretty sure the guy might have killed more people that align with his beliefs than not his beliefs.
Oh,
okay?
For sure. Yeah.
So like that, and the issue is too, like here in New York, like our politicians, they're making it harder, like the laws that they're implementing specifically in New York are making it harder for the legal law abiding citizens, like legal gun carrying owners. So like, for example, if you have a permit and you want to conceal and carry, like you could carry it on you and you don't have to show that you're carrying it on you. Like our politicians right now are saying, well, you know what? You can't go to Times Square, conceal and carry. You can't carry. It's a gun-free zone. Fine, right? Like, so say, let's say I'm a law-abiding citizen. I obey the laws and the rules. And I say, you know what? Okay, I'm a gun owner. And you're telling me I can't bring my gun into Times Square. No problem. So I will leave my gun at home when I go to Times Square to visit the fucking Broadway play or whatever the fucking thing I want to visit, right? So I go to Times Square. Now, the criminal isn't following the law.
Yeah.
So the criminal's not going to say, oh, it's a gun-free zone.
Better not bring my gun.
Yeah, so the criminal is like, fuck your gun-free zone. I'm walking in. Now, say that criminal comes into Times Square the day I'm there, and I'm a gun owner. I have a permanent license. And I didn't bring my gun because I'm following the law, these stricter laws that they're implementing now. When that fucking criminal pulls out the gun and starts boom, 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 boom. Now, if I brought my gun, right, and they didn't have that law, right, I'd be the first one to be able to put a gun in that guy and stop him from killing people, which we have a lot of those circumstances that have happened in big malls here in the U.S., but they're not highlighted. And these stories aren't brought...
Because I would say that there's no point having a law unless you can enforce that law. Like, an unenforced law is literally worthless. Because and that's why I never understood the ideas of, like, I understand all the stuff with, like, the police and all that jazz with the riots and stuff last year. But whenever everyone was saying defund the police, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. If anything, you want to give them more money, more training to do the job that they need to do and do it well.
Well, exactly. And so, like, if I'm not, like, you're not stopping the criminals from following the law and they come in and I'm obeying the law, then ultimately everybody's dying. I'm dying when I could have protected myself if I was allowed to bring my gun in. And it's easy for them to implement this and say, you got to do this, when they're never around those circumstances. When they are in the city or anywhere else, they have armed security around them carrying guns, you know? So this is the mindset of a lot of pro-gun people when they hear about this, because they're like, yo, you're making it harder for us to obtain guns or to bring our guns into areas where if we want to carry them, and you're not stopping, it's not stopping the criminals. They're not using credit cards, so you can't track them if they're getting them underground, black market, whatever. And so, like, if you're like, I don't have an armed bodyguard like you do, like when you walk around with fucking 10 bodyguards.
Unfortunately, because there's so many guns in America, like, even if they did, like, the whole buyback program like we did, like, a lot of guns came forward. No American will ever feel 100% safe that all the guns are gone. And I feel like that, and I feel like that's the underlying issue of the pro-gun argument, is no matter what, we're never going to be able to feel safe again, because we've always known this gun culture, and we've always
known the American culture of owning guns. Is probably about 200 years longer than Australia was even a country, I think. I mean, we only became a country 1901 or something like that. And I think you guys have been, 1700s? And that was this constitution came all this. And like, so it's such a long-lasting thing.
When Howard brought in the gun buyback program, that's the only reason why we have Pauline Hanson as a politician. You know that, right?
No.
Because because I looked it up, because I was like, what did Howard have to go through? Because I didn't realize that he was going against his constituents. Mm-hmm. He was going against his party, because obviously he was a liberal. So he wanted to, obviously, it was also, a lot of people like
Bruno, in Australian politics, the Liberal Party doesn't mean like what you guys consider liberal. Liberals. Liberal is like the our Republicans, more like the Conservative Party. We've got liberals are not liberal. Yeah. We've got the Labour Party, which you guys would
probably consider Labour's liberal, and liberals are conservatives. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. He had a lot of pushback for that, a lot of pushback. And then Pauline Hanson came in with her One Nation Party or whatever, and then that's how she became a name. She used all those people that were really angry that they're taking out guns made a party.
I do have to wrap everything up soon, personally. There was one last topic, Bruno, and this might go for 20 minutes, who knows, but I just wanted to ask you, because I know that you are a fan of Trump, right? Is that correct?
Oh, mate, this is going to go for 4 hours.
We'll just do it briefly, but coming from the point of view in Australia when that whole thing occurred, is that, I mean, I can't speak for everyone in Australia, but for me, my friends, my family, everyone that I know, it was just like, we thought it was a massive joke. We thought it was just a massive joke, and he's just like a bit of a clown. And we're like, who let this guy into politics? Like, yeah, sure, media personality, kind of, good on screen, says a lot of things that really resonate with people, polarizing, like curious, I guess. What's the deal with, like, just tell us your take.
I just want to I just want to add something on there before you answer. I remember when it happened and halfway through the election process, everyone was like, dude, Trump's fucking going for president. That's so funny. And then there was this one feature like, wait,
he's going to win
the votes?
He's going to win.
What do you mean?
He won?
What? And then it like flipped. Wait, this is not a joke? What?
Yeah.
It was so weird. Yeah. So yeah. What was your take on it?
So, okay. I just want to clear up for people too, because I think people think like I'm a massive Trump supporter or I'm that MAGA. I'm not. I'm not a MAGA person. I don't idolize Trump. But for me, Trump was definitely the lesser of two evils, especially back when he ran against Hillary Clinton. You know, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know if a lot of Australians are really educated on the Clinton family, but there's a lot of corruption and blood on the Clintons' hands.
Oh, okay.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah. Just Google. Google probably even filters this now with the way that, you know, online operates now with censorship. But the Clintons are so dirty with their involvement with Haiti. We had an incident with Benghazi where we lost American soldiers were killed because of Hillary Clinton's antics, okay, and her and emails, and when requests for help were sent, she blatantly ignored it, and there was evidence that showed this.
Just
you know,
quickly, there's like a whole Wikipedia category on Hillary Clinton controversies.
Yes.
So just so everyone's aware, you can find it.
Right. There you go.
Wikipedia is a good source.
Right. You can look into the dirty, bloody shit that the Clinton Foundation has been involved with. Okay.
Yeah.
Second, when that election occurred, there were, I'm sure you guys are aware of Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Of course we are. He's
right.
An Aussie.
Yeah. True blue Aussie.
Right. So,
There
was a lot of exposure, and if people were paying attention, WikiLeaks revealed a lot of emails and a lot of corruption, specifically with the Democratic Party when that election was going on. And there were a lot of corruption and leaked emails. If people would take the time to look, a lot of people don't know and they're ignorant and they just
what. Because I would say I'm more left than right these days. But there are what kills me about the leftist side of things is just like they're choosing to be ignorant. They choose to ignore facts because it goes against their narrative, right? But both sides do this. But
both liberal, sides do this.
Yeah, but the left side I've noticed a lot more because it's just like one, they have the media on their side, which obviously exacerbates anything else that they want to push out because they can just keep push it out all the normal media. That's why, I mean, besides Fox News, but then they just do the opposite thing anyway. So it's really shitty because you never know what anyone's true opinion is and you never know anyone's true thoughts. You just know the leftist ideology and the right ideology. But anyone on those, I'm sure like there's a spectrum. Like I know I have views that would be considered right wing. I have views that would be considered left wing, but I'm just happy to discuss different things with different people and be open-minded. If someone says something that would make me think, I'm like, you know what? That's actually a really good point. It would make me change the way I think because I'm open to those kind of conversations, you know? But I don't think anyone these days are.
Yeah.
It's difficult and it's something that people should be able to have open dialogue with differences in opinions and views to try to, you know, again,
form opinions.
Right.
I heard the quote the other day. It was just like back in the day, the news should be presenting the facts and then we take those facts and absorb it and create our opinion. Right. But now what they're doing, the news is giving our opinions and then we have to take those opinions and somehow absorb and try to figure out the facts. And it doesn't work. Doesn't work that way at
all.
No,
yeah. And so, you know what? And the media, like you said, the media is very biased, especially here in the US. Mm. It's very left-leaning. They're and Donald Trump, when he started with the fake news, you know, everybody like at first it was like, oh, this guy, motherfucker. But then when
people start listening, you're like, wait.
Wait. And then people like he ended up being right. Like the news was very fake, reporting things. Editing things out, like I'll give you an example. Like there was a Trump rally, and of course you had a group of people that came in to disturb the rally, and they specifically positioned themselves all throughout like the little stadium, wherever the fuck he was at, you know, they weren't all in one group in one spot. Like they were all spread out.
Yeah.
So the news specifically decided, like CNN specifically decided to show Trump, the Muslim woman getting ejected out of the stadium. Classic. So what did CNN and all these left-leaning majority major news networks start running with? Oh, Islamophobic. Muslim ban. Islamophobic. Trump is against Muslims. Da, da, da. But then when you go on YouTube, where it shows the whole fucking clip, it was the Muslim lady here, the three white people over there, the two black people over there, the Spanish person over there. It was everybody getting ejected that was causing disturbance. Scene, So this is... Like the Americans saw through this, and Americans, especially after 8 years of Obama, we were like, for example, Obama said you could keep like with health insurance and your health plans, you could keep your doctors and you could keep your insurance plans. What ended up happening? A lot of American citizens ended up losing their doctors,
really,
and their premiums ended up going up. Right, so we ended up Americans ended up paying the price. Not just with their health benefits and their costs, but their cost of living and taxes and all this other shit. But it was in the name of socially just programs and all this other crap, you know. But ultimately, it hurt the pockets of everybody. Mm, yeah. You know, so Americans were fed up with this. Then you get Hillary, who comes in and has this we all know about the Clintons and all the corruption and all these scandals and shit like that. So the media played this up. They were doing all the polls. Oh, Clinton's in the lead. It's only the white racists. It's only the white, what you guys would call bogans, fucking bogans. Voting for Trump. Yeah. Da, da, da. What they didn't know was there were a shitload of silent voters.
Mm, yeah.
Females, minorities. Like, I could tell you at my job where I worked at, I was the only white male at my facility, radiology facility that I worked at. I worked with mostly Asians, Hispanics, maybe a few blacks, and... almost all of them were voting for Trump, but the media wasn't—they weren't portraying that. They were just portraying it's the white racist male hillbilly that's voting for Trump. So when Trump won, of course there was this shock, not just in our country, and I know because I have friends in UK and other countries
everywhere,
like
the whole
Canada,
world.
Everybody was like
"No way, God. Dude!"
I'm right. sorry. It was cut this off, guys. I'm kind of. I do need to head off.
Yeah, that's cool. I need to. Yeah, I think it's. I just want to say one thing. When Trump kept referring to COVID as the Kung flu was probably one of the funniest times of my entire life.
Yeah.
In the middle of a press conference, he's like, "Oh yeah, you mean the Kung flu?" He's like, "Yeah,
that's
China.
Funny." He does say some hilarious things. I'll give him that.
So such a funny cunt, man. There are things that I don't agree with him.
Yeah.
That some things that he says, or he could articulate it in a better way. But it's fucking hilarious. Yeah, whether you like it or not, like, how do you not laugh? But you know,
he literally said, he's like, "Why don't you just grab her in the pussy?" Like, that's funny, dude. That's a funny thing to fucking say. It's just because he's the president. That's why it's fucked up.
But this was the thing too, which a lot of people don't understand, why people voted for Trump over Hillary. These career politicians who say one thing in front of your face, but then behind closed doors are laughing at the common people and shit. People wanted, and we don't care if he was on The Apprentice and was like a reality TV show guy. People wanted someone that wasn't a career politician and that spoke his mind, whether you like what he was saying or not. Right.
It would never happen here. I can tell you that.
No way it would happen.
It doesn't work that way here.
It was more relatable. And like, even like, for example, like there are people that were like, and I had some Asian friends were like, "Oh, you're okay with him saying the China virus?" And I'm like, well, look at the context of it though. Because if you looked at...
came from Wuhan.
It came from Wuhan, but if you heard China's media and China's president specifically was blaming the US, and let me tell you something, I agree with them. I agree, like when you look into COVID and the origin
all
of
right,
it.
We can't get into that now. We need to leave now.
We need another segment.
We'll do average advice with Bruno part two, and we can delve into a lot more
conspiracies. Yeah.
but just to end it off with this. So if you look at what China was saying, their media and their president was like, it's the US virus. So Trump came back and said, The China virus. So Trump was responding into what they were saying, but people just look at Trump like, oh, he's just a dick and he's racist and shit like that.
It's because no one can get anything out of China. No one's getting that news source.
Right. And so people get very politically correct, but a lot of Americans and not just white Americans, all different kinds of Americans appreciate Trump's bluntness and that he has no filter.
It would have been interesting to see what Trump would have done in the Russia-Ukraine war if he was still in power. It would have been interesting, but scary.
I'll tell you right now, it wouldn't have happened.
All right. Go into that.
Thank you for coming on, Bruno. We really appreciate
it's been fun, you've been
great. We didn't even need to go to the bucket of mysteries because we've just been talking about, you know, stuff the whole time, which is great. Sometimes when there's a lull, we're like, let's go to the bucket. But, you know, it was great entertainment. It's so been good. Thank you.
Zariel, I warned you. I could talk about anything.
No, it's great. We appreciate it, man.
This is the first podcast where I haven't had to talk nonstop, even though I did a lot. But
anyway.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Stay average.
I'm just going to stop the recording. Stay average. Bye.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.